Good morning. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like the one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The gospel lesson this morning is Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or at cockcrow or at the dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake.
The disciples had asked Jesus to give them a surer sense of what was going to be happening in the future and when they might see the coming of the kingdom. And he says, oh, you'll know it's happening when, you know, there are wars and rumors of war. And part of me says, well, that pretty much describes all of human history, doesn't it? And it's interesting that every Advent, as we begin to look to Christmas and angels and darling manger scenes, that there's an amazing B-side to the Advent album that always gets played the first Sunday of Advent, about the second coming of Christ. I wasn't always sure what to do with it. I felt it was kind of like having to eat our liturgical vegetables before we get to the angel Gabriel and other angels, shepherds, and mangers. But this year, there's part of me that is really ready for an apocalyptic hope. And I mean that literally. And I mean it in terms of what the real meaning of apocalypse is. We tend to think of it as, oh, a second coming and a war against evil, but really comes from two Greek words meaning to uncover. To uncover what is already there, to uncover hints of what is coming. And let's face it, over this past several years, violence between people racism, wars, violence, religious divisiveness, economic inequality, the illness or loss of loved ones, even the seasonal stress, let's face it, our world has been devastated by things that were not created just recently, but are becoming increasingly uncovered, it seems, as part of our human nature. So this year for me is a bit different, because I need Advent to be both about reaching back toward the coming of the Christ child, and then reaching forward to the story of Christ coming again, because I need the story of God's salvation to be bigger. Because if the story we've experienced in 2023 is all there is, if the scope of God's vision was that small, I just couldn't bear it. What helps in this season of Advent, I think, is to understand how expectations differ from expectancy. Expectations are when we think we already know the outcome and how it will get there. We like to have expectations met. I'm sure that's what the disciples were hoping for when they spoke to Jesus. But expectancy is the real feeling of Advent, and that is when we are open to however the outcome may come, knowing that whatever it is, God will be with us and our Lord will be fulfilling his purpose. Expectancy is about trusting exactly that the story is bigger than what we see around us. It's that a sense that God is already present in the future that we are becoming so anxious about. Expectancy is what the prophet Isaiah expressed when he spoke of the future in this way from the 9th chapter of Isaiah. In the days to come, God will judge between nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The result of God's judgment that we live in expectancy of is peace. And wouldn't that be a wonderful gift? Now, just to be clear, Isaiah wasn't writing at a time when things were going well. Things actually weren't great for the people of Israel. They were facing and then faced the conquest by Babylon, the exile of a lot of the Jewish leadership and others into Babylon. So God speaking through Isaiah was a way of saying that the story of God and God's people is bigger than what is happening right now. So wait for the Lord, whose day is near. Be strong, take heart. That is expectancy. Expectancy isn't about singing happy days are here again or Santa Claus is coming to town, as though certainty and optimism will somehow save us from the darkness that human beings can bring into life in this world. Expectancy is confessing that God's story in Christ is big, that the story reaches back and it reaches forward, that the promise that God is not done, that Jesus won't leave us alone, those promises still hold true. The hope of people who have heard and taken to heart the stunning words that there is life beyond death and hope beyond suffering. Now, it might be uncomfortable to some of us to say that there's a future not created by ourselves, because that kind of goes against a lot of how we are raised, but the future is created by God, and we don't just say it, we celebrate it. And that's part of the message of Advent. It's a crazy thing we do as Christians, actually, to say that our hope is not in Wall Street and the Dow Jones average, but in the God of Abraham and Sarah. Our hope is not in any political party, but in the God of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Our hope is not even in our own human ability to try and be optimistic. It is in the God of Mary and Joseph. Because foundationally, we are people of a story. And that story is fundamentally a story of God's promises coming to fruition yet in Jesus Christ. As a people of that story, as I said, we have one hand reaching back to touch the hope of the prophets and one hand reaching out to Christ's promised redemption of the world. When we stand in the middle of this big, big story, we can stand firmly in the reality of the present and not have that reality consume us. Even in the midst of wars and rumors of war and uncertainty, we can stand here in the reality of the present that is around us and confess that the end of the story is yet to come, and it is sure. The story of God and God's people is written in the tablets of our broken and then healed hearts. It is written in the lives of our ancestors, is written in the future of our children and our children's children. And this is what our Christian life really is all about. The biblical story of God's redeeming action in the world forms who we are. A world in which Christ's love is the rule we are to obey. A world in which swords are beaten into plowshares, guns are melted into combines. Hope is a gritty expectancy, a waiting on God, holding God's feet to the fire in one sense, saying, you promised to be with us, God, and we boldly and unapologetically claim that promise now as our own. Here is where we dare to keep our hopes high. Here we dare to wait for the Lord whose day is near. We dare to be strong. We dare to take heart because there is more to the story than just what is happening in the world around us now. Thanks be to God for a bigger story. Amen.